Good morning, church. How is this week going? Pretty good. Well, let's end it and begin the new week by praising our God. If you don't mind standing with me. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caught the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his blessed commands and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen, amen. This past week, I was on vacation, so if you see some redness, it's because I'm burnt. If you see me tan, thank goodness, I'm not that burnt, apparently. Down the mountain, the river flows, and it brings refreshing wherever it goes. All through the valleys and over the fields, the river is rushing, and the river is here. The river of God sets our feet to dancing. The river of God fills our hearts with cheer. The river of God fills our mouths with laughter, and we rejoice for the river is here. The river of God, ere it teems with life, and all who touch it can be revived. And all who linger on this river shore will come back a-thirsting for more of the Lord. The river of God sets our feet to dancing. The river of God fills our hearts with cheer. The river of God fills our mouths with laughter, and we rejoice for the river is here. Up to the mountain we love to go, to find the presence of the Lord. Along the banks of the river we run, with dancing and laughter, giving praise to the sun. The river of God sets our feet to dancing. The river of God fills our hearts with cheer. The river of God fills our mouths with laughter, and we rejoice for the river is here. The river of God sets our feet to dancing. The river of God fills our hearts with cheer. The river of God fills our mouths with laughter, and we rejoice for the river is here. And we rejoice for the river is here. And we rejoice for the river is here. There's a weird ending on that song. I decided not to do it. Also during that song, I don't know if you saw me, I wanted to like I was dancing. It was kind of neat. All right, we're going to have one more song and then have Chuck come and pray. The Savior alone carried the cross. For all of my debts, he paid the cost. Salvation complete, now forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all. The Savior alone carried the cross. For all of my debts, he paid the cost. Salvation complete, now forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. No power on earth, not even the grave, can separate us from mercy and grace. He is faithful to save. Oh, his blood never fails. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. Amen. You may be seated.
Would you bow with me, please? Father in heaven, Almighty God, our Maker and our Creator, we come to you this morning with thoughts in our heart about praise for you, praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who gave his life for our sins, that we might be reconciled to you. Father, we ask that you would look into our hearts. Help us to repent of our sins as we become aware of them, to turn to you for a more perfect way. Father, we ask that you would be with this congregation, that you would heal us in times of recovery, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to love one another more dearly, for we know that love covers a multitude of sins. Father, be with Stephen and his family as they travel. Father, keep them safe. Father, keep them healthy. Father, be with Alex and his family as they mourn the loss of their loved one. We ask that you would console them with the knowledge that there is a life after this. We ask that you would help us to look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when we hear that great trumpet sound and we look up and see him coming, we will realize that the future is now. Father, as we stand before your throne of grace, we pray it will heal the Lord's, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that we will be found blameless because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has covered our sins, and that we would be allowed that victory in Jesus we be allowed to go with him to those mansions in the sky. Father, be with us each day. Help us to walk uprightly. Help us to walk justly. Help us to love and be found faithful in your sight. For this is our prayer in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have our hope and our faith and our glory. And amen.
Let's stay seated for this song, and then we'll do two more songs before we head into our time of communion, and I'll have a stand for those.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. Please rise.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Be unto your name. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue, if your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Tread all. Be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft when we are troubled and tired, sick and sorrow and pain, there are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what tomorrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. You know, communion is about remembering Christ's sacrifices. And we particularly, of course, think of the cross. But I want you also to think about Christ's sacrifices weren't just at the cross. It was his entire life. You know, Jesus was the perfect Jew. In other words, he abided by all the Jewish traditions. And had he eaten a piece of bacon, he couldn't be our Lord. So it's not just about how he died. It's also how he lived. My dad used to have a saying about attitude and effort. And I found this verse. It's 1 Peter. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his life, his earthly life, for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus lived his whole life with the proper attitude. And as we take communion today, of course, I want us all to worship and remember his sacrifice on the cross. But I also want you to think about living life with that attitude, that Christ attitude, which really is the epitome of what I think mental toughness is. I'm going to leave you with a quote here before we take communion. It's from Chuck Swindoll. This is a quote from him, and it's very famous. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is, we have a choice every day. We have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We're in charge of our attitudes. So we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. But I want you to also take this time to think about the attitude that we'll have this week. And we want to try to mold and have that same attitude of Christ. In Corinthians, tells us that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for your sacrifices, not only on the cross. Please let us take this time to remember your life and help us mold our desires into your will, Father. Thank you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you think of it, or whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you again for your sacrifices. Please give us the grace. I know you're going to give us grace, Father. Keep that at the front of our mind, and that's your desires on our heart. Please help us live for you, Father, and make good decisions that are honoring to you in every way. And lastly, I want to remind you that there's an offering plate. Due to COVID, we don't pass the offering plate, but it is in the back. And let me just pray for the offering. Father, we thank you for all of our blessings. One of your desires is for us as Christians is to support the local church as it's the hands and feet of Jesus. Father, please thank you for your blessings and help us be joyful givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Alrighty, kids, it's now the time to go learn about Jesus on your own. And I believe the teacher that we were going to have had an emergency. So if Sarah's going to go back there, if anybody else wants to volunteer and help as well, that would be helpful. All right, now during this song, we're going to stay seated, and then you'll know when we need to stand. It's just one of those songs. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you.
Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Amen. Final song before Chris comes and lead us in a sermon.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
So as I think Chuck mentioned in his prayer, if you don't know, Stephen is traveling this week and his family, and they're in Nashville, and we hope they're enjoying their time there and pray that they have a safe return. And so a few weeks ago, Stephen asked if I would be willing to get up and preach this morning, and I always find it kind of funny that I get asked by the preacher every 10 or 12 years. It seems like a preacher will say, "Hey, why don't you preach?" And I'm like, "You just want to look better." So this is a good reminder of how blessed we are to have Stephen as our preacher here. As I started thinking about what I wanted to talk about, I started off with my family first. You know, our families take a good bit of our time up in life, and I started thinking about my kids and what do my kids need to hear. And you know, I've got Elena, who's going to graduate in 1 year and go off to college, and we're figuring out those steps now. And of course, Kayla will be 1 year behind her, and then Avery's on their heels. So I started thinking about, I've got a short amount of time. I've got to get, you know, if there's one thing I can teach them, what is that thing I want to teach my kids? And as I started to think through all the different great messages of the Bible, I also began to think, you know, as I started to put together the message this morning, this isn't just beneficial for my kids. This is a great reminder to me, and I hope that it's also it's something that you can find value in this morning. You know, times are changing. When I was a kid, it was a very, very, very different world than what we live in. You know, the last year, obviously with COVID, it changed the way we live our daily lives. It changed the way we eat. It changed the way we visit with folks and visit our family. It changed basically how we do everything. But it's more than that. It seems like we debate the undebatable. Things I never thought would even be debated. People are talking about the craziest stuff nowadays. The social media and the impact that it has on our daily lives. It's It's changed what we value. It's changed and made people almost live an alternate life that they can put this whole fake life out there and make everybody think that they have this wonderful life. It's changed the way we live. One constant thing in my 50 years on earth, and that's God. That is the only constant thing. It's God, His love for us, His will for us, and His plan for us. So today, the one thing I want to teach my kids, the one thing that I want to remind myself of, and the one thing I want to ask each of you to do, is to seek God's wisdom every day of your life. Mark said that a minute ago. We have a choice every day. We have a choice about our attitude. We have a choice every morning when we get up. We get to decide what we're going to do with that day. And I want to ask you to take each day and seek God's wisdom. When I was a kid, I didn't always seek God's wisdom, I can tell you that. I kind of lived by the mantra of, is it fun? If it's a good story, it's probably worth doing. And so I lived out kind of outside of a small town, and as a young kid, more like Avery's age, I spent a lot of time riding bikes. And there was a guy that lived across the road from us, Mr. Schillingberg, and he had a giant hill in front of his house and a big long driveway down that hill. And one Saturday morning, a couple of my buddies and I were sitting there and trying to figure out what we were going to do that day. And we decided we were going to ride our bikes down that hill. We were going to put a ramp at the bottom of it and hit that ramp and see what happens. And so, as often was the case, somehow I ended up being first. And so I got on my bike and I rode down that hill as fast as I could. And I decided last minute, I can't hit that ramp. This is not going to go well. And so I veered off to the left. There was a sharp left turn, and there was a fence at the end of the curve, and that separated their yard from our yard. And then a sharp curve to the left that goes to the main road. So I veered left and maintained control, but barely. So my friends, of course, laughed at me, called me a chicken and whatnot. And so my buddy Todd was like, I'll go next, and I'm gonna show you what happens, you know. And I said, okay, that's fine. Go ahead, Todd. So he gets up there, and to his credit, I mean, he attacked that mountain. He came flying down that hill, and he hit the ramp, and I don't think it went quite as he had hoped it would. He was airborne, but the bike really wasn't as airborne as he was. I mean, he kind of flipped over, and I don't know, it looked like he almost bit his lip off, and he had to get some stitches, and it was not good. So a few weeks later, my sister decides, she was out riding bikes, and she was not an outdoorsy type person, but she decided she was going to ride her bike that day, and we were up behind Mr. Schillingberg's road, and she was like, I'm going home, and she got ready to ride down a hill. And I said, Mary, I wouldn't ride down that hill if I were you. You don't ride your bike very much. It's probably not a good idea. It's gravel, and I just wouldn't do it. It's steep. She's like, oh, I can do it. So sure enough, Mary goes riding down the hill, gets to the bottom, takes the curve too sharp, face plant, blood everywhere, gravel stuck in her hands. And of course, as a young brother, you run down and you say, I told you. you know, we don't have to personally experience pain and difficulty in life to become wise. We can learn from others around us, and we can avoid the pain that comes with our life on a daily basis by asking one simple question, and I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. Next slide, Pete. First, let's take a second and think about earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom. First of all, I'm going to say I'm not sure I'd call it wisdom. I think it's more like earthly foolishness, but we'll stick with earthly wisdom for now. Our time here on earth, again, our earthly wisdom is defined more of, is it fun? We are extremely self-focused, focused on the here and now. And there's a number of the bullets. If you want to hit a couple of them, that's fine. Pete, I don't know when they come down. Basically, just as I described before, Is it fun? How do I benefit? Can I get away with it? That's kind of what our human nature tells us to ask. Again, as I said, it's earthly wisdom isn't typically wise at all. It's almost like peer pressure that people employ on us so that we'll do dumb things and join in and they can feel better about themselves. It's basically a way of justifying our behavior. Next slide. So what's God's wisdom look like? The Bible contrasts two types of wisdom, God's and the world's. I'm going to read James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, which says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." So let's take a second here. Let's take a stock of what this scripture says. God's wisdom, you have a good life. The earth's foolishness, or earth's earthly wisdom, has bitter envy. Good life, bitter envy. God's wisdom, you have good deeds. Earth's wisdom, selfish ambition. God's wisdom, humility. Earth's foolishness or wisdom, unspiritual. Pure versus disorder. Peace-loving versus evil. We can choose to have righteousness in our life, or we can choose all the negative things that James outlines in these verses. Next slide, please. What else does the Bible say about wisdom? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says, "Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." Do we trust God, or do we trust ourselves? Do we think we know better than God knows what's for us, and substitute, or do we substitute our own will for what he has planned for us? James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." I'm going to expand on that one in a minute, but the good news is he gives us a way of attaining his wisdom. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man." Where do we set our mind on a daily basis? What do we focus on? What do we put in our minds? How do we spend our time? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30 says, "No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord." Quite simply, there is no wisdom, no understanding, or perspective that can compare to God's. Next slide, please. So how do we attain godly wisdom? Like I said a minute ago, I don't think it's our human nature. I think, again, our human nature, the bad news is that we are selfish people. We look out for number one. We look out for and make decisions based on what benefits us, and it's typically what benefits us in the short term. The good news is very clear in the scriptures that we can attain God's wisdom. And there's a number of verses that help us get a better insight to that. And I've listed a few of them here. First, we can revere God. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." You got to fear the hill. If I would have been afraid, I was afraid of the hill. I was able to avoid catastrophe at the bottom that might have happened if I hadn't. But But if you fear the hill and respect the hill, you're going to avoid some of the foolishness that could have occurred but for that fear. And that's the same thing that the Psalms are saying here. We got to fear God. That's where our wisdom starts, is fearing the Lord. Colossians goes on to say we need to submit to God's will. I know it's a little small, so I'll read it. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We need to carefully consider our ways. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Now, I'm going to expand on that one in just a minute. Be humble, Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. We need to recognize and appreciate the need for God in our lives. And that takes humility. A lot of times we think we are able to make the best decision in life, but we need to recognize that we need God in our life, and we need to recognize that and appreciate that and go to Him. Acknowledge ignorance. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Practice self-control. Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And then I'll skip down to the last one, number 9. Edify and correct others for their own good. Ecclesiastes 7:5. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. We need to surround ourselves with people who are going to provide us godly advice, who are going to make us better people, help us be closer to God. And in turn, as we strengthen our faith, we need to be willing to lovingly provide, stress lovingly provide, direction to those who may not be seeking to live a wise life. Next slide, please. So how do we achieve this? Going back to Ephesians 5:15, it says, look carefully how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. It doesn't say look carefully how you walked. There's a reason for that. What he's saying there is that you can avoid the pitfalls of our life here, of our time here on earth, by looking carefully where we walk. Let's think about that for a second. We can go through life and make bad decisions, and we can walk down that road and we can look behind us and say, probably shouldn't have made that decision. That didn't work out very well. Or we can look ahead of us, ourselves, choose our path wisely, and avoid some of the problems that we would have otherwise experienced. A few years ago, we had what we called a young adult class. I'm no longer qualified to go there, but the class no longer meets anyway, so that's okay. But we studied. We had a study, and it was an Andy Stanley study. I'm sure many of you have participated in his studies, but this one in particular really spoke to me, and it asked the question. It was called The Best Question Ever. And I don't know if you guys have done that, but I hate to be the master of the obvious, but if I'm encouraging you to live a godly, use God's wisdom in your life, to simply ask the question is, what is the wise thing to do? And that was the question that Andy Stanley kind of pitched out there. If you're trying to ask the best question ever to change who we are and how we live our lives, we ask ourselves, what is the wise thing to do? We make that our standard. Our standard is no longer, you think this will be okay? Our standard is not, I could probably get away with it. I could probably stay out a little later with the guys tonight, and my wife might be okay with it. Our standard is not, I could bend the rules at work, and I'll probably get a better bonus at the end of the year. Our standard is not, I'm in high school and I'm dating this person, and how far am I allowed to go with this girl? Or what can I get away with? Our standard is, what is the wise thing to do, and it's not always the same thing for each individual. So he expanded a little bit, and it made it kind of a personalized approach. So you ask the question of what is the wise thing to do in light of my past experience, my present circumstance, and my future hopes and dreams. So, considering my past, maybe what are the sins I've struggled with? I may struggle with things very different than something maybe Carl or Joe or someone else experience or struggle with. But considering my past experience, is it wise for me to do this? Considering my present circumstances, where I am in my walk with Christ, what is the wise decision to make? And then considering, what do I hope to be? What are my hopes? What are my dreams? What are my plans? What is the wise thing for me to do? That is the standard that we are to live by as Christians. It's not, if it's fun, do it. If it's okay, do it. If it's, how close can I get to being wrong and still be okay with God? That's not our standard. And as simple as that question is to ask, and as, again, not to be the master of the obvious, it's easy to sit here and say that should be our standard. It is an entirely different thing when you try to apply it to your life. It is a very difficult process that follows when you apply that standard to your life. All of a sudden, on big and small decisions, you find yourself in a position where you can't justify doing what you want to do. And let's be honest, sometimes there's things we want to do and we know they're wrong. And if we think long and hard enough about it, we can find a way to do it and say, it's okay. It's probably okay. It's not that bad. They're doing it, so it can't be that bad. I've seen other Christians do it, so it must be okay. That is not the standard that we are called to follow, and it is not what we are. I'm asking us to do today. So what happens when you ask that question? When you start to apply this standard to our lives, it changes our perspective. It changes our focus. It changes our goals. It changes how we treat other people. And it changes our attitude. So I want to hit on perspective real quickly. Having the right perspective in life and having the perspective of it's not all about today. It's not all about our time here on earth. Having the big picture in mind, having the ability to say God has a plan for us and we are living for the future, not living for I win today or I'm going to beat my neighbor or I'm going to have the best of this. That's not our focus. But having the big picture and understanding where we are in our walk with God and his plan for us changes everything. Next slide, please. So we're going to take just a second and play a little game. There's a picture in front of you. It's something that is zoomed in closely, and I'm going to ask you to guess. What do you guys see there? Can you tell what that is? Anybody? Not all at once. Air conditioner? If it is, turn it on. Turn it up. A vent? Looks like a vent. Anybody else? Lines. Tracy? Lines? Blinds. Okay, yeah, I can see that. Anybody else? All right. Next slide, Pete. It's a razor. It's a razor blade. It's zoomed in so closely that you couldn't tell what it was. And that's how we live our lives when we focus on today. We focus on today and we're so close to today, we can't see the bigger picture. All right, we'll do another one, Pete. All right, let's see what that is. I honestly thought that was fiber. And I'll tell you, it's not fiber. I work for a company, it's a tech company, and we build a lot of fiber, so I thought that was fiber. Anybody want to guess what that is? Toothbrush. Anybody else? Paintbrush? A lot of brushes? All right, Pete, they're right. It's a toothbrush. Very good. Sometimes, even when you're focused on today, you can see the bit. Even though you're close, you might get it right. All right, we got another one. All right, what's that? Tracy? Wow, okay. I'm hungry too. One of my favorites. Anybody else? Go ahead, Pete. It is an Oreo cookie. You're good. All right, the last one, and I thought this was the easiest one, because I thought if you didn't get any of them, but apparently y'all are better at this than I thought. Anybody? All right, Pete. It is a pencil. But it is, as you can tell, much easier to when you have a better grasp of the big picture, things are more clear. They're more easily understood, as opposed to whenever they're so zoomed in and you don't have the benefit of seeing the entire picture. And I believe applying that standard of what is the wise thing to do allows us to have that broader perspective. Next slide. So when we seek and live by God's wisdom, we start by asking the question, what is the wise thing to do? And we apply that standard in our lives. Not only does our perspective of the world change, it's not a vent, it's a razor. Our perspective changes because we see the big picture, but also others' perspective of us changes when we begin to apply that standard in our lives. So instead of me seeing, like goofy Carson being goofy, I might see Jesus in the actions that Carson carries out in his daily life. Sorry, Carson. I know you have the microphone after me. I probably shouldn't have done that. But all kidding aside, when we apply that standard to our lives, it changes the way people see us. And so I always like to, when I teach a lesson or I'm talking to folks, I like to have an application at the end. And the application today is I want to challenge each and every one of you to take this week and ask yourself, start the day with all your decisions you make that each day, to begin the day by saying, what is the wise thing for me to do? Again, on big decisions and then on small decisions. What is the wise thing for me to do? What does God want for me to do today with this decision? And then, in a few weeks, look back at the decisions you made and see if there's a difference. See the difference in your life when you're living for God and you're using the wisdom that He provides, as opposed to justifying our behavior and living the way we want to sometimes, or our friends want us to sometimes. And so that's our challenge today. That is what I'm going to ask you to do. And I do believe that when you decide that that is your standard, that you want to live by God's wisdom, it will transform your life. At the end of each service, we always offer the opportunity for folks to come forward, to put on Christ in baptism, to seek prayers if there's difficulty that you're going through. And so in just a moment, Carson's going to come forward and lead us in an invitation song. If you have any needs, if it's not comfortable to come forward, just grab one of the deacons or elders at the end, or come forward as we stand and sing.
Please stand.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in Your presence. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in Your presence surround us, Lord, surround us, Lord.
Now Tom's going to come up and close us out with a prayer.
I'd like to thank Chris for stepping in for Stephen today. Thought he did a fine job. Ask that you remember Alex Guerrero's family, Bianca's mom, and Margie Price, that's recovering from surgery. Keep all these in prayers. And raise each and every one that's here in prayer, because a lot of people's going through some stuff, and we all need that prayer. Bow with me, please. Thank you, God, for another day of life. Thank you for the opportunity we had to gather here this morning. I ask that you remember each of these in prayer that we've mentioned, and remember the congregation, those that are in pain and going through a whole lot of stuff with the disease and sicknesses that they're facing. But ask your blessings upon each one of them, Lord, and ask your healing power upon them. We pray, God, that you would go with each of us to our separate homes, keep us safe, and help us always, Lord, to have the attitude that Jesus had. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.